Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Monday morning episode, the start of a new week. We are doing this remotely from our separate rigs. No one's in their car. No one's in an office, wherever it was you were the other day.
I will do. I'm going to do a car pod at some point this week.
You've got to. Whether I need to or not. The sound quality was incredible.
I just want to. And because I was so impressed.
Top notch.
I was really impressed by it the other day. And I'm going to get... What I don't have is a hands-free rig up for my car, right, for the phone.
Right.
So yeah. I'm going to get one. I've been looking online. You can either get one that clips onto the air vent or a suction one. I don't know why, but I find a suction one more appealing.
Yeah, it's more fun, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And so
it casts you back to the days of when you used to have rubber toys with suction feet and things like that.
Yeah, I've got a suction pad actually in my bathroom.
Have you?
That I've life hacked, or my wife has, is because we can't get the metal plug hole in the bath because the little knob that you pull it with fell off. So,
oh shit!
So we adapted a suction pad off of a child's like rubber duck or something, right? Mm. And now we use it to
get the plug out.
Take the plug out. So it's a nice little life hack. So I do have dealings with suction pads day to day.
You've got an ongoing relationship.
I do, yeah.
With the suction people.
Just suffice to say, suction pads play a positive role in my life. And that is why I've been looking hard on Amazon. I think I'm going to go for a suction pad. And then what I'm planning is, later in the week for one of the podcasts, I will drive around my locale. But here's the thing. Mm. I want to find a way that I can communicate with you on FaceTime like this, but record it for video whilst driving. Because I want to...
Fuck.
I'm taking it next level. Because you were stationary in a services car park.
Yeah.
I want to be mobile. And I want to film myself and then release it to IFS only.
Yeah, you'd need a dash cam then.
Right.
You'd get a dash cam and you could video while you're driving around. Is it safe to drive and pod at the same time?
Well, I thought someone was going to Frank Lampard me on this. I got to be honest, I didn't think it would be you.
Just thought I'd get in early just to save the deluge of messages that we get.
It'll be the pharmacists, won't it? I was listening to the latest episode of his so-called comedy podcast. And not only one of my favourite... Oh, God, I can't believe I've brought up the pharmacist again, but one of the funniest things that I forgot to mention last week, like the different angles they came at me, was Ard said on this morning as part of my... pharmacist sort of bit that I don't know, I just said that a famous person was in the queue in front of me once at the pharmacist picking up a prescription, and I'd try to listen in and find out what prescription it was they were getting. And I and I told this on this morning. I didn't name the celebrity. I think most people who know this show can guess who it was. right. But I thought, my point of view is that I'm just admitting it, but everyone else would do the same. If they're behind some really famous picking up prescription, obviously they'd be thinking, oh, I wonder what they're getting.
Of course you would.
So I admitted it, but quite a lot of the pharmacists, when they were all looking for angles about how to get me, were going, possibly invasion of privacy, attempting invasion of privacy on someone here, in my clearly stupid... tongue-in-cheek anecdote.
Oh, man.
Anyway, let's move on from those
cunts. Was the entire thing, though, was the entire thing not based around the notion that pharmacists could have a quiet word with people about obesity? in the first place.
It was, yeah.
And would that not be a breach of privacy if they were going to do that?
They think not, public? Because they think they're well trained. Someone last night, one of the pharmacists, made a whole video in which she explained in a sort of like funny but at the same time really aggro way about how actually pharmacists do a lot more than just putting pills in boxes. And she did a whole YouTube video and sent it to me on
it's
Twitter.
Viral content for you.
Yeah.
And are you supposed to retweet that then? And
yeah, I think that's what she thought, yeah. But I've got no interest in supporting their community anymore because they're too mean to me. Anyway, yeah. That aside, yes, it probably is unsafe, but I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I won't be looking into the camera. I'll be driving and talking. So what's the difference between that and taking a hands-free phone call while you're driving?
I think that there will be some members of the pharmacist community who have infiltrated the IFS. Mm. And they will be reporting you to fucking the DVLA or the Met
they
or
can.
Whatever.
They can, because I don't think it's illegal. It's not illegal to have a dash cam, is it?
Mm.
Is it illegal to take a hands-free phone call? I don't think it is.
Is it not? I thought they were going to make it illegal.
Yeah, not yet, though. I think you're allowed to drive and talk as long as you're not holding the device.
All right, so you're going to just revel in the final few days of that not being
make
illegal.
Make the most of it. But, mate, this is a potential revenue stream because we could start doing this on IFS.
We'll just record episodes in my car when we're on tour because I'm driving
hell.
This time.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm driving from Leeds to Nottingham.
Oh, I've already booked a train ticket, although it was an extremely reasonable. You're not going to believe this, mate. It was It's £9 from Leeds to Nottingham on the train.
I didn't even know you could go directly from Leeds to Nottingham.
Oh, yeah. You can go directly, and it's £9.
Well, jump in with me, see if you can get a refund. They're charging an admin fee of £10, I think, so you'll be £19 down. No, you'll be a pound down, I don't know.
You'll find me a very good passenger because I will fall asleep immediately in your car. Yesterday, I was too tired to drive back from my mum's, which is only about a 15-minute drive, So my wife was driving and the kids are in the back and it's a 15-minute drive. And I said, will you drive? And I'm very rare. Usually I drive. And I very rarely
I'm too tired to drive 15 whole minutes.
You do it.
You fucking do it.
Why do I have to do everything? Right. And I got in the
Is
car.
Is it because I'm the boy?
I got in the car and I fell asleep immediately. The whole way. I've slept the whole way from my mum's front door to my own front door. People often get annoyed if you sleep in their cars. Would you be annoyed if I slept while you were driving?
I wouldn't give a shit, mate. Wouldn't give a shit.
It'd be good because it'd stop me rabbiting on.
I've been on trains with you where you fall asleep immediately. That was a problem. So yeah. You know,
well,
cars are different.
When I was at university, my mate and I, Ollie, we still had our West Ham season tickets, and he had a car, but I couldn't drive at the time, and we used to drive back for West Ham. Once a week, sometimes twice a week, in his Volkswagen Polo. And on the way back, I used to usually have a right good sleep. Often because, you know, we'd got to West Ham and drunk heavily. I'd drunk heavily, he hadn't. And then we'd get in the car for the way back, long old drive from East London back to Brighton, and I would just fall asleep. And he would have the right hump with me. When we got back, I'd wake up just as we were pulling into like Brighton or whatever, into the campus, and I'd go, oh, are we there? And he'd go, yes, we're fucking there. Have a nice sleep, did ya? And I'd be like, yeah. And I nodded off, so what? He's going, yeah, you lazy cunt. I was like, well, what was I supposed to be doing? Helping out?
Navigating?
Yeah, you don't need my fucking help. You're out of order. You are out of order. I do all the driving, all you do is sleep. And I still, to this day, I don't know what his problem was with it.
I don't know. I mean, faced with the choice of a silent, sleeping, possibly snoring Delaney.
Yeah.
Or a completely shit-faced Delaney rabbiting on for an hour.
Precisely. Whoa. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, surely it's more agreeable to have me sleeping.
A bit respite from, wouldn't it?
It was the principle. It was the principle he didn't like. He felt, why he's doing all the work and I'm having a lovely drunken slumber.
Lovely sleep up.
Yeah.
Are you still mates now?
Yeah, he's still my very good mate. He's my best mate.
Oh, there you are then.
But
you've survived it.
To be fair, he lives in Dubai, which may be the secret of why we have maintained our friendship.
It could be. Well, we're talking about driving around and that and the live shows. It is this weekend when we start doing a few more. The very last chance you're going to get to see these fantastic live show that we did last autumn. And it's going to be Edinburgh at 5 p.m. at the Stand on Saturday. Then in London, two shows. First one sold out, second one 9 p.m. on the 2nd, which is Sunday night, at 2 North Down King's Cross. And then Leeds, I forgot about playing in Leeds, but it's a nice place. That's then on Monday. And then Nottingham Glee Club on Tuesday.
Glee Club, yeah.
And
yeah,
that is fucking it, no more.
We complete our Glee Club, our hat-trick of Glee Clubs, yeah.
A Glee Club trilogy, you could call it.
Birmingham, that was where we had some trouble.
Bit aggro, yeah.
Cardiff, that was a bit of a weird gig. I mean, no offence, Cardiff, but I would say it's probably our weirdest gig.
Mm.
Because the audience were quite quiet, but then after we went, they inundated us with lovely tweets and they'd had an amazing time, which we really appreciated. But, you know, like, no offence, but all I would say is you had a lovely time, did you? Well, try telling your fucking face. But, you know, maybe that's the Welsh way. They are cool people, the Welsh. They're kind of cool, aren't they? Like the Fonz. So that's probably that. And let's see how we get on in Nottingham.
Yeah. Lovely green rooms in the other two. So
fucking, yeah. Easily the best set for green room, yeah.
And we're already in the process of writing the next live show, which will be hopefully in the autumn. So
I think there's a strong chance it's going to involve James Garner and
Glenn Larson.
Glenn A. Larson. If you don't know, sometimes we do some of our best content on the IFS stuff, in fact, quite regularly. And it's not directly related to the IFS, to that episode subject matter, like Roy and the Robots or Kevin Keegan or whatever. And so people miss out on it and we make references. So really what it is if you're not IFS, you're missing out double, because we will start something on an IFS episode and then it'll spill over into this free-to-air episode. And you're going, what the fuck's going on here? Yeah, well, start fucking subscribing to IFS.
Yeah, £3 a month, you get fucking eight episodes.
And by the way, IFS has been going for a year now, I think, or almost a year. And there's been no inflation, despite the fact that we've increased the content available.
We've doubled the content levels, haven't we?
Doubled the content. So if you subscribe now, you're getting double the content that the bastards who subscribed in the first place, who are the elite IFS. If you subscribed in February or March 2019, you will forever be elite IFS.
Yeah. They'll find out about Glenn Larson and James Garner in 9 months' time when it goes free to air, by which time we'll have probably finished doing the live shows.
Yeah. Although I've got a strong sense it's going to have legs, because I'm not saying this is necessarily deep dive, but once I finish this fucking laborious novel that I've started and feel like I don't want to stop because...
What is it?
Oh, it's a famous book. It's The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which I've never
read. Oh, I read that the first time round,
It was a very old book. But obviously it's got a big reputation and I was just browsing, looking for my next book to read, and it came up recommended for you. So I thought, yeah, I'll read that. Everyone loves it. Should be able to blast for it. Fucking no. It's really long and not much happens for a lot of it.
I read it first time round because I felt obliged to read it because it was probably at the time when I was avidly reading The Observer every Sunday.
Yeah, and it was the book to read
at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I read it on holiday. Can't remember a fucking thing about it.
My missus, she said, I read that. Yeah, I quite liked it, I think. And I said, what do you remember about it? She went, fuck all.
Nothing.
So I should have seen this coming. But you know, sometimes you start a novel and once you're past 25% on the Kindle, because it tracks it, you sort of think, I'm a quarter in now, I've got to get it done. But it's a slog.
Don't get it done. If you're not enjoying it, if you're not feeling it, walk away.
I don't hate it. It's not shit. But neither is it brilliant. And I quite like reading books that I regard as brilliant.
If it was shit, you'd probably get some kind of comedic value out of it. But the fact that it's just all right. Nah, bin it, walk away.
Yeah, because what life's I'm going to do is I'm going to read The Garner Files. That's next on my list, which is James Garner's work, which is where the story, that if you're not IFS, IFS, you won't know. We told last week about James Garner punching the TV impresario Glenn A. Larson so hard that he flew straight through a static home.
And out the other side.
Now, if that story is reflective of the quality of the book as a whole, then I am fucking deep diving it big style.
Well, as well, James Garner, who also got shot in the arse by friendly fire during the Korean War,
yeah,
as he was diving into a foxhole.
Yeah.
So there's two stories already that are going to make it better than The Secret History.
Yeah, fucking right, actually. You're right. Do you know what? I've made my decision. That's getting downloaded as soon as we finish recording this episode. I'll probably have read the whole thing by the time we do our next ep. Hey,
fucking do it.
I've got a couple of things here that I've made notes of. One is, don't have to do them all now. One is me being approached by a drug dealer on Friday. It's quite a good story. A street dealer.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, let's have that.
All right, okay. So I was on my way home. I was looking. I've been in King's Cross where I'd done a podcast where, incidentally, we are building our outfit, a building, brand new studio, which we're hoping will be ready, mate, by the end of February.
Wow.
In King's Cross. In King's Cross. So right where you come in to the capital.
I just come down, do a podcast and fuck off.
Right by your entry point.
Nice.
You can use it for that. You and Bob can use it. It's going to be fucking dreamland. Anyway, I've been up there doing a bit of surveying, you know.
Did you have your hard hat on?
I had my hard hat on. Was walking around with some contractors.
Did you have one of those wheels on a stick that measures out?
Doing a lot of that, yeah. And I also invested in one of those things that beam a measurement. You know, you just beam an infrared light.
Laser measurer.
A laser measurer. Yeah, I was doing that. And also I was wearing some goggles, some scientific goggles too. I said, and I carry a spare pair, and the bloke I'm with, I said, put these on, mate. I'm about to use my laser measurer.
Yeah.
If I sneeze and the laser accidentally moves and flashes for 1 second into your eye, that's it.
You're blinded.
You're blind. Yeah. It's like Day of the Triffids, mate. Stick them on.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Yeah.
Stick the goggles on.
Stick the laser goggles on.
Jalapeño.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Anyway, I was back from doing all that malarkey, and it was about 6 o'clock, and I got off the tube at Hammersmith, and I was walking my usual route. Towards the bridge, and it was fairly busy. I mean, it was 6 o'clock, it was pitch dark, obviously, because it is at this time of year, but it was fairly busy. 6 o'clock on a Friday, quite a lot of people heading home from work. It wasn't the busiest road, it's a little side road, but there was a few people around, and there was a youth, right, from I was walking past the flats from past the estate, and I think he was one of the youths off of the estate. Don't want to sound prejudiced or anything, I could tell he was a nice lad, right? But, you know, listen, I lived on an estate when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I know, I can smell it on him.
It's in your blood, isn't it?
And exactly.
Estate life.
Estate life, another T-shirt idea, right? And anyway, I've got my headphones on, and this lad has turned round to me, and he's tapped at his headphones. I thought, what's he saying? I think he's complimenting me old Bose headphones. Still got it, right? The kids still know that I'm hip to the streets. And I just gave him a thumbs up. And he went, no, take them off, mate, take them off. So I thought, oh, he wants to communicate with me. He looked about 18, so I took them off. I said, yes, can I help you? And he went, hear me. Quite loud, he goes, hear me, do you smoke weed? And I went, I beg your pardon? And he went, do you smoke weed? And I went, Oh, and I literally said, those days are gone, young man. And he seemed to not understand what I'd said, right?
Because you were speaking in Dickensian language.
So then he goes, he goes, do you snort coke? And I went, once upon a time, mate, once upon a time. Yeah. He still didn't get what I was going
once
on about.
Once upon a long ago, my friend.
Ah, now you're taking me back, my friend. The stories I can tell you.
The mists of time.
Ah, my
come,
friend.
Come, let's sit on this wall and I'll regale you.
As I tell you the tale of Euro 96. Are you familiar with that golden time?
The greatest time in the history of the
world. In our history. Are you familiar with the dentist chair? Anyway, I went, and he still was like, what? And I went, no. And I went, he went, why not? And I went, I'm a bit old for that now, mate. And he went, nah, you're not. You look young enough, mate. Tried to talk me into it.
Go on,
with compliments.
I'm a bit.
So he had sales chat, right?
Fancy doing a bit.
You look lovely, mate. And I went, anyway, are you buying or selling, right? And he went, selling, mate. He went, I got Charlie, I got weed, I got some nice pills. Are you sure? He goes, you might not want it now, but maybe just, you know, for future use. And I went, nah. I said, I'm telling you, mate, I can't do that stuff anymore. And he's going, but why not? You still look young. Then I realised I was wearing my baseball cap. You know, like I sometimes like to wear a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And I think the combined impression of my baseball cap plus my, you know, Bose headphones, over-the-head ones, I thought, yeah, I'm looking like a youth here, aren't I?
Target audience.
Plus, I've been on a New Year diet, so I've probably lost a bit of weight. I probably thought, yeah, I probably am looking about, like, 25, something like that.
Right,
So I tell him, look, mate, I'm 44. I'm going to be 45 in a few months. And he went, so what? And I thought, yeah, I don't know why that is. He probably sells mainly to people my age.
Yeah.
Right? Nowadays, so expensive. Everyone's so skint. It's the kids off the estate selling to the... And I noticed that he was in the little channel of road that takes you from Hammersmith over the bridge into Barnes, which is extremely middle class. And I was thinking, he's got his set up right here. Because he's thinking, I'll catch these silly middle-aged rich cunts.
As they jump at Hammersmith.
As they're fucking jumping off the tube and walking back to their fucking posh rigs in Barnes, I'll get them on a Friday night. So I thought, this bloke fucking knows what he's doing, right? But I've said to him, ultimately, I've said, no, mate, I can't do that stuff anymore. I'm afraid not. But I said, I do wish you all the best luck in the world with what you're doing. Because I do. I thought, fuck it, I'm not judging the bloke. Plus, he was very polite in the way he approached me. He was not intimidating, which I appreciated. And I gave him a big clap on the shoulder as if, like, you and I, we're friends now.
Fare ye well.
Yes.
Did you say that?
I said, Godspeed, young man. Godspeed, my fine fellow.
Yeah, I got speed as well, mate.
And then I saw across the road, because I wanted to end the conversation, but he kept going, and he went, why don't you take my number? he goes, take my number, and you can call me in case any of your mates want anything. And I went, nah, best not to, because in all honesty, I don't want dealers' numbers in my phone, because... You know, I've worked quite hard to stay sober all these years. And one of the first things I fucking did when I was giving it all up was delete all the numbers, right? Because you never know when the monster might grab you by the...
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, so I said, if it's all the same to you, I won't take your number. I went, but it's fine, I'm around this area all the time, so I'll just find you if I need you.
Almost taught yourself into it.
That seemed to appease him as I literally skipped across the road away from him and sort of semi-ran away because I was like, nah... 5 more minutes of this sweet talking bastard and I'll be back on the fucking iron filings. So I managed to get away. But ultimately, I think it was a nice encounter.
I don't think that's the last we're going to hear of him.
No.
And I expect that you and him will be doing a podcast by the end of February.
It'd be great if we did, yeah. a recovering addict with a drug dealer friend.
That'd be good. Sit on a wall somewhere. Get your portable recorder out.
Yeah, we can learn lessons from one another,
interview
can't
him for
we?
This, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it that a young person does these days, once he's finished a hard day's drug dealing? Would you spend your money up in the West End's Denmark Street buying guitar strings?
I can't remember ever being approached. Well, I probably have been at some point, but I can't remember how long ago it would have happened. I do remember once in Manchester where I was approached with the offer of a blowjob for 20 quid.
Bloody hell.
By a street worker, let's say.
A street sucker.
Yeah. And I turned it down, obviously.
Yeah, like people go, would you like it? It's quite a specific sales pitch. It leaves not much room for negotiation. The better way, if I was a prostitute, I'd say, first of all, I'd do the old classic, are you looking for some company? Because that's a good conversation opener. It means that they might stop and engage before they've realised what's happening. They go, yes, I am quite lonely. And they go, oh, well, I can offer you company. And then only much later would I mention that this would be a financial transaction. And only after that would I reveal what acts I was prepared to perform.
Yeah.
Because I'd be hoping that I might, you know, at best be able to get 20 quid out of just literally offering them some company. Like 20 minutes of my time, I'll walk around with you, have a chat.
Yeah.
And then you can pay me 20 quid. Only later, if they started trying to resist, I would keep up my sleeve to say, okay, as a bonus, I'll throw in oral sex.
I'd start with a hand job, really.
Yeah.
If you're trying
to just... you build up. You go, how about if I wank you off? I don't know. Still seems 20 quid, still seems quite a lot. All right, what about if I suck you off? Okay, yeah. That's
with
a deal.
With a bit of wanking at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand that wanking is part of my fellatio technique anyway. So,
yeah.
It's a 2-for-1 deal, essentially.
I'll throw in some ball work as well.
If you want me to touch your bumhole, that's an extra tenner, I'm afraid. Although a lot of people do like that. I was listening to Lauren Laverne this morning on Six Music, and did you hear our friend Dave?
I didn't. I heard he was going to be on, but I missed it.
Well, it was a surprise to me. It was a surprise to me, and I was delighted just that I knew someone on the radio, even though I suppose the fact that I've worked in radio for a long time, I've been on the radio myself.
Produced the Eamon Holmes Show, couldn't talk radio.
Yeah, and I know most radio hosts, in fact, I've just realised. But having said that, I don't know. I suppose it was because I wasn't expecting him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him, and I was really excited, and I was excited to hear him talk about Pop Rex, which is a venue that is very, you know, I think no venue looked after us better. They are, I hesitate to say they're the nicest guys in Sunderland. Although in the build-up, she said... my hometown of Sunderland, and I forgot Lauren Laverne was from Sunderland. I knew she was from the northeast, but I didn't know she was from Sunderland.
She's one of us.
And she's going, my hometown, Sunderland, and this guy has done more than anyone to keep the independent spirit alive in that city. Mm-hmm. And for a moment, for a brief mad moment, I thought, oh my God, it's going to be Andy.
Yeah, of course.
Only because I can never think of anyone else who lives in Sunderland.
Yeah.
And I thought, this has got to be Andy. Why hasn't
he
told
me? Andy, you're the proprietor of that Polish supermarket you were in.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I hope she has that grumpy fuck from the Polish. Well, funny enough, it was Dave from Pop Rex who was on this morning, and he was very brilliant, by the way, so you should listen back to it. It was Dave from Pop Rex who told me, when I told him about my travails in the Polish supermarket, he said, what did you buy from there? And I said, I bought a pint of milk to take back to my travel lodge to have with tea in the morning rather than the UHC. And he told me, oh, don't buy it from there. That's pig's milk.
That's right.
So, and I've
been threatening for about a year now to do a Pop Rex podcast with Dave, and I never get around to it. And I should, shouldn't I?
You should.
All I've got to
really
do is go down there, set the mic up, and just let him fucking
hang on
for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Dave will make me look, you know, sort of quite quiet and measured.
I imagine Dave will come up with a lot of content that needs to be snipped out.
Well, I really only spent, you know, an hour or two in Dave's company, but he told me a lifetime of fucking first-class anecdotes.
Yeah.
Even in the bits where you were on stage and I'm backstage, you know, like where you're reading the Roy Keane bits and that.
Yeah.
Even in those bits, he collared me and told me 8 or 9 stories that were, like, fucking sensational stories from his life.
Yeah.
And then I came back on stage, like, he would still be talking as I said, I have to go back on.
Yeah, so, when you were trying to gather your thoughts and work out what was going to happen next.
If you were at the Sunderland shows, it may explain the low quality of both the shows that night. But they were our first two shows.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was an exciting part of my morning hearing Dave from Pop Rex.
Mm. Have you got the results of the predictions from the weekend?
I don't. Okay, but I don't know where it leaves us in the league.
Well,
but
you
I
just
can
tell
you
what we've got.
You got 3 points, which was for three correct outcomes. I got a paltry 1 point. I got only one correct outcome. And yep. ResultsBot got no points. No one nailed it. No one got a correct score. You came close with West Ham West Brom because you predicted 2-0 West Brom. It was 1-0 West Brom.
Did you go to that?
I went to it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I went to it and I did my new West Ham podcast afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
It's called UI. And so if there's any Hammers listening or people who, you know, want to hear me on another podcast.
Even more.
I mean, you'll be quite disappointed because it's not funny at the moment. It might be in the future, but there's nothing to fucking laugh about. It's just me being a fucking miserable cunt.
Is it you with your journalist hat on?
Rashane Thomas from The Athletic, because it's an Athletic podcast.
Right.
And so he's their West Ham correspondent. And so he's got more of the inside track on what's going on at the club. And I'm just ranting on. Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
There's nothing about James Garner, but, you know, who knows what the future holds for it. But the thing we're doing is, if you're a Hammer, it's quite good, because there are a lot of good West Ham podcasts, to be fair, but what we do with this one is we do it straight after the game.
Reaction pod.
So you don't have to wait 3 days. Like my favourite West Ham podcast, I'm usually waiting 3 days after a game to hear what they've got to say, whereas this one's reaction pod.
So is your co-host at the matches, home and away?
We're both at the matches. Well, I won't be at many away ones. So at the home ones, we both meet up. We met in an Italian restaurant up the road after the game. And actually, that was the only funny bit, because an Italian waiter came over and started asking us if we wanted anything. And I said, mate, we're recording a podcast here. And he went, what is a podcast?
And there was this in your facilities.
There was this long interchange. No, his manager knew. There was this long interchange, and I started getting slightly irritable with him, but I left that all in because I thought it was quite entertaining. So at the moment it's just me ranting on. So yeah, at the home games we'll be somewhere like that, and at the away games he's there at the game, and I'll be doing it remotely. But not like this. We're using some sort of software. I'll tell you that off air. It's boring for the listeners, but I'll tell you how we're doing it.
Well, I think we're done anyway.
A little bit of tech chat.
I think we're both done anyway. So there we are. I'm on 115. You're on 107. ResultsBot's on 91. Still all to play for. Very exciting. Transfer window almost closed. But that doesn't affect us, does it?
No. We might do a transfer window special on the last day, you know, like Sky do.
Yeah.
Loads of podcasts do that. In fact, I did one once.
Do they?
I can't remember why I did it, but I was still with the drink at the time. I remember turning up, and they paid me £200 like to turn up and host this fucking transfer window deadline podcast, right? And I was shit faced when I turned up, because I can't remember, you know. And I turned up, and there was I thought it'll just be like a bit of a laugh, few other lads there, you know, just other gobshites like you, the likes of you and I, and the other people of our community that we know. I thought it'll be fine. They won't notice I'll be shit-faced. They'll applaud it. But when I turned up, there was a proper load of anoraks there.
Oh, it was the broadsheets.
All had fucking laptops in front of them. And they had a pre-production meeting that they asked me to attend. And there was some guy in charge going, okay, this is where we're at. Listen up, everyone. It's like you're in a newsroom. This is where we're at so far, right? And he started talking me through all the deals that have been done, the ones that we were expecting to happen while we were on air, because it was being live-streamed. I was like, fucking hell.
Was this a podcast?
It was a live-streamed fucking podcast on transfer deadline day. It was. And do you know what? I look back, and although I regret, I suppose, being drunk whilst broadcasting, I mean, I would have never done that for what I regard as a proper gig. Even when I was drinking, I wouldn't have done that. I wasn't that unprofessional. But I just thought, this is just some podcast. But I don't regret making a mockery of the whole thing, Andy. I'm pleased I did, because I think it deserved it. I think these were grown men, right, acting like babies.
Mm.
Like getting all excited over a fucking transfer window. I think I'm glad I made a drunken mockery of the whole exercise.
Getting excited about a list of names and some new people having new jobs.
This man's got a new job at another place. Fucking grow up, dickhead.
I hope he gets along with his co-workers.
He's still negotiating his contract. Who cares?
Well, it's the transfer deadline on the 31st, isn't it? At the same day as we leave fucking the EU.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good live podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. And they're going to release a new 50p to commemorate transfer deadline day as well.
Fucking hell. What a fucking mess. Right. That's it for this one. We're back tomorrow with what might be a mailbag delve. Depends on the quality of the mailbag, I suppose, but we'll see.
See you then, dickheads. Keep it cunty. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.